The Ballad of Heartwork is a new series from The Heart is a Dungeon. Most of the story will be whimsical in nature, with moments of fear or sadness. Please take care of yourself and check the content warnings for each episode. And thank you so much for listening.
We see the end of the story. Not our story, but the story nonetheless. We see a world empty of all sentient life and the ruin of the largest city that anyone has ever dreamed. There is a long unkept promise, there is a name yet to be read aloud, and there is you. Not a god, not a mortal, but more of an idea. More of a season than an angel, and more like a star than a monster. You are either all that is left, or you are the beginning of something new. When we turn to your page and begin to read, where do we find you in this broken world? And what do we see when we close our eyes and see you?
We find connection on their journey to the place they know they are needed, the place they knew ever since they saw that skyline in the distance they would have to go eventually. Though they've enjoyed the quiet of the more unoccupied areas, the city eventually calls, and they have answered that call. We spot a rainbow of feathers on a little hedgehog body wandering along, shuffling towards dark buildings and what they hope are new beginnings for a place that should be far more lively. As they take in everything on their way there. But they aren't quite sure how this city will look different without the people that they were used to connecting within it.
And we watch you as you find out that something has changed. All around the horizon, as far as your eye can see, the endless edge of what was once Pangaea, separated from Pangaea by a chasm that is deep and wide and terribly brand new.
For that chasm to appear between anyone, between any place, that to connections is a rejection. And there is a bit of the sting of that as they look upon this chasm. There was a question of what they would find here. Though they knew it would be different, they certainly did not expect the city to reject them altogether. And to be shut out of this place that they know needs them stings. And we see for a moment the wonder and the smile leave their bright brown eyes. Where chasms form, they can be mended, but it takes effort. Since connection cannot pull the land back together to reunite themselves with this city, they will have to build a bridge, and that will have to be enough. For it to be so isolated from any other experience, connection can already feel a yearning emanating from the city. The type of trapped that no one ever wants to feel, and that is an energy that connection needs to break. I think I would like to use build. That's 2 sixes on the dice. So that is a 14. As connection lays the first board of this bridge, something shifts in the air around them, almost as if anticipating this connection. The world around them wakes up and says, yes, this is the way forward. This is the way we want. And as their namesake suggests, it's almost as if they are able to bring the world together to assist in building this bridge, rather than building it themselves and letting the world utilize it later. Everything springs to life around them suddenly. There are vines that stretch out and hold up boards for them as they continue to lay plank after plank of this bridge. The darkness of the chasm almost lifts up to hold things in place and ensure that the bridge will not fall as they work. As they lay that final board on the way to the city, there are little scrap pieces of metal and things that have wandered out from abandoned buildings that shift and change to form the nails that hold it all together. And it comes together as a melding of the two places that want to be connected.
From the deep dark of the wood of the grove, many a badger, a toad, a hawk, and a doe come forward, holding branch and vine and stone. And far across the chasm from the hollow city, pieces of furniture and scrap and iron move with a sudden life as they begin to work towards the wood, and the wood begins to work towards the city. Would you like to name this first of many bridges?
I think it would take them a moment. I think they would name the bridge Escape.
a silent swamp with the croaking of crickets and frogs waking up under twilight and heavy fog. No wind, no chirp, and right when Nakna walks up, no croak. Just a hush that weighs heavy on the waterlogged air. Thick as old breath, and a scent that is metallic, smoky, ash and copper that settles on a tongue like an omen. And when they arrive, Nakna does not walk. They're unfolding themselves from the dark, tall as nightmares. Long as lies you tell out loud. Their form is a shifting mass of black edges flickering like a mirage of heat. Their skin on the outside is cracked obsidian, sharp, and with the light reflecting on it, motion, crawling with motion. They have appendages that scrape around, claws, limbs, mouths, none staying in place for far too long. Multiple eyes that open where none were before, a gaping maw that is across their face that vanishes into the black and opens up to teeth. Nakna doesn't talk with a voice in this form. They talk with voices, layered whispers, sobs, distant screams, rising and lowering. And when you get close, when the frogs hear it close, they hush because there are a multitude of them. And they're just thinking to themselves, "Oh, you feared me before you knew my name. Run." There's this like echo for a moment that stops them. Like the scent of someone who stood close. And every single time they look back, they don't remember their name. "No. Nothing." And they turn back to the frog. "Run." It feels like stepping into the lungs of something ancient and half asleep. Not untouched by time, uninterested in it. Not a place forgotten, but a place that refused. It is this space that holds everything. The pain, the grief, the memory, and tucks it deep underneath, behind vines and water clouded with mud and grime. But it doesn't hide, it just layers it on top of each other, a history. This is not wild, it is what it is, and Nakna feels the trees don't grow up, they twist and plot, and with every step, even though they do not walk, the mud remembers and does not give it back.
Beneath your feet, beneath your heel, you are aware of every body buried deep. Here in the bog, still preserved after all this time, the bullfrog, the low to the ground slither of something hidden and nearby.
There are little critters that are wondering, what would happen next. And that is enough for Nakna. They're here to remind. So they remind. And so, no. Waterlogged, bog burials, everything that they have encountered before were a plethora of stories. And they always did what they knew best. Scare and remind. So, they are still here. They are still deep, silent, and this place and the mud knows how to remember. And that is probably the difference between here and the patch of grass. To the bullfrog, they would want to send a moment of instinct to flinch near the snake. To the snake, they would send something of a memory or a moment where the bullfrog jumps too quick. They will kind of crouch into the mud and let their feet soak in and watch from the distance with the maw pulled back, their obsidian skin pulling back and for a second shrinking down into the child they are. Go. Run. And they'll wait like an inquisitive child playing with ants. That was a 7. I think in this space, there is a hidden layer that pulls you in almost as if feeding the heart of the swamp. And the mud that you step in, the footprints that you leave, turn into a heavier gravity that pulls you deep underground, and you get to see like the layers of rock, but memories and story and secrets. They refuse to leave, but the choice was made for them when they sunk into the sand, and the water will pull them, and they're afraid of it at first. How dare. But Nakna remembers to just let it flow and not force it. So they'll lay themselves back and let the tide take them. Slow at first from the swamp until it starts picking up speed. But no, every single time they feel uncertain, they just remember to remember. To remember. I think now Nakna is falling. And they try to remember. They clutch at it like dust you see in the air before it goes away. And for the second that they're floating in the air from the fall, the maw, the obsidian, everything that is their body actually parachutes out, and you see the child underneath, astounded for a second before all of it wraps them again, sweeps them down into the water. and let everything rush past them.
Your next favorite game is on My First Dungeon.
Hello and welcome to My First Dungeon. Hello and welcome to My First Dungeon. Ho, 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 and welcome to My First Dungeon.
From Sad Space Cowboys.
Kamari takes out a lighter from their pocket and goes, this bar's next.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Let's go.
To death metal Viking cats.
Hello Kitty, you see Melody Tuffington flying through the air, jacked as shit, massive legs, to horny snowmen?
The sad part is that Joshua never gave Frosty a penis.
No.
And everything in between.
It was a dark and stormy night.
We've got something for everyone.
You're a special Gertrude girl in a special Gertrude world. Happy birthday, happy birthday. I'm not a skeleton.
Learn the game, then hear it in action.
That's snake eyes minus two. That's a zero.
Snake eyes, that means that we have our very first plot twist. Anytime somebody rolls doubles, we get a plot twist.
So grab some headphones
and get lost in a story with us.
I'll be honest, I don't know all the rules of it. We'll kind of figure that out as we go. But do you want to just play? I've got some great stories to tell you.
And remember,
if you're having fun, you're already doing it right.
Oh, fuck.
Beneath a bridge is an ancient gathering place for shadows such as you. And you see a small form standing and looking approvingly at the structure, tapping a small foot in appreciation.
They first try to grab the first thing that they could with one of their many appendages. Their maw opening up, and that little flicker of what they remembered. They remembered. They couldn't remember. And they think to themselves, when is a monster not a monster? And that form, whatever it was, the feeling, though, was real. When is a monster not a monster? Oh, when you love it. And when they hear it, they pull it close and they peek over and look to what is there. And you're not afraid.
And I think as you peek over, Nakna would catch a glimpse of this little hedgehog-shaped creature, iridescent white, covering their belly as it leads up to a kind face with bright brown eyes and a little marking on the face, on the muzzle in the shape of a heart. Connection smiles down at you. And when you ask if they are afraid, they shake their head. Even the shadows need to find their way sometime. That's what this is here for.
I am no shadow.
Then what are you?
I am dark and moody. But not all dark is evil.
I know. You don't seem like you're evil. Or do you want to be?
when they say, do you want to be? All the forms come back, the eyes, everything. Are you not afraid? Now. And they open up their maw right above connections.
And I think connections looks up. And when they look into the maw, they're not seeing the teeth that threaten to surround them. They're seeing the little child that the teeth protect.
The mirage of fire, like the smoke of dark, just wisping around and around. I am not afraid. I have never been afraid. I will never be afraid. Oh, I'm never afraid. You are afraid. I remember, and I remember everything.
Well, I might have been afraid once, but it's natural to be afraid of things you don't know. And I think now that I've seen you closer, I don't think I have to be afraid anymore.
Nakna, are you afraid of connection?
Nakna doesn't know it, but the last time they were loved, they were forgotten. Nakna, unknown and always forgotten, ripples out tendrils, appendages, a thousand little eyes and blinking in the dark before spreading around their arms around a like a blanket of dark before swallowing up connection in black. The only thing that could be seen is darkness until you see ripples underneath. Like slowly walking, tired, home. And a person a lot shorter, possibly, with wet feet and a muddied face. Do you wish to sleep?
That muddied face is illuminated by the iridescence of the white fur of connection. They look for a moment at the child in front of them. Study the streaks of mud, the wet feet. They smile. And I think before they curl up to go to sleep, they will reach onto their back and pluck a single red feather, place it in front of Nakna. Only if you'll join me.
I'm not really scary, you know? I don't know why I bite. And they'll pull up their hand to get the feather. There are others, you know. Others who dream.
Maybe we can meet some of them while we do. And maybe they'll see that you're not so scary after all.
They should be scared. They will say, you are full of rage. Why are you full of rage? And they won't stay long enough to hear me say, because I am full of grief. But if you wish to meet them, then I can lead and show you the way. They'll take the red feather and play with it with their hands, and a little smile creep on their face. and pull apart their mess of muddied curls and start braiding messily and tuck it in and hold their little curl next to their face. Could I create with you?
Of course.
What do you dream of?
And as connection sort of lets themselves sink to the floor, the iridescence of their white belly now replaced by a circle of rainbow feathers. Their curious brown eyes give Nocna one last look. I dream that one day everyone will have one who stays.
You both look upon a kingdom of tide pools, a reflecting Rorschach test begging you to tell it what it looks like. The light is golden and feathered by a cloud lion that is so obsessed with the both of you.
Nocna is walking ahead, and it is pitch black in the dream world before the tide pools come in and the reflection of light from connection. You could see Nocna just sending ripples, and they're kind of dancing around the tide pools. Look at this one, and this one, and this one. And as they're pointing each of them, they're also directing connection to get closer and see Nocna's reflection and theirs. Look at this.
At the last one, connection finally leans over to the point where it looks like their two reflections are like touching foreheads almost. Connection smiles into the pool. I think this one will work. And they reach down with their little paws that almost still look like hands. Little claws that are very unassuming, but in the pool, it's almost like the claws look bigger than they should. As connection just taps the water, and a slight ripple echoes across in Nocna's direction, almost inviting them to do the same.
They had mirrored your action and get closer and stretch out like familiar octopi from their memory. And they look down at the reflection, back up at connection, back down, and they outstretch their hand almost as if connection had dared them, like a game. And with a little smile, when that ripple reaches them, they tap back, sending a wave like an answer. I'll play.
And I think thus begins a game that back and forth they touch until the water has begun to swirl with the light and the obsidian.
If each of you could roll me a single dice for the believe move, and then let everyone know what we would see when we look over your shoulder and into the water.
That's a 4 on my dice.
With a plus 1 is a 5.
Mm-hmm.
I have a 3 plus 3 for a 6.
It's 11 total.
for Nakna. A little child playing games. They are excited and happy looking back at connection back at the pool, hoping to see more others who are playing the same game. They look up at connection. Is that real? They have that face of, what?
And I think they find connection smiling back. The whole time that they've been playing this game with Nakna, they've felt a similar joy to when they built the bridge and let the energy flow from city to surrounding areas. They found a way for that energy to move forward. And I think seeing Nakna's grief trapped in this writhing mass of shadow, as they watched Nakna scare people away, or at least attempt to, and then sit in their loneliness, they've almost found themselves through this game of tapping, building a bridge to the little child that they've now been spending time with. And as the water disappears and reveals two new faces that were also in the midst of tapping their own tide pool, connection beams with a smile and says,
"It's real."
Looks at the two faces and goes, "Hello, who are you?"
Nakna sees connection, looks down, and doesn't recognize the reflection. And they say, "Do not be afraid.
We close the book. Just for now, there is still such a long ways left to go. There's still so much heart work to attend to if we hope to one day resemble a place one could call a home. Thank you for tuning in to The Heart is a Dungeon for this episode of The Ballad of Heartwork. Let's meet our incredible guests. Connections, way to keep it together. Do you have a name, and do you ever tell it to people?
Yes, I do. Hi, everybody. My name is Emma Kokar. I am the founder and creative director of the Tabletop Tailspinners Network, which is a fun little actual play podcast network that focuses on championing diversity in the TTRPG space, particularly in the GM seat. Our fan favorite podcast is currently All Our Faults, which is a Monster Hearts 2 actual play podcast, but we have plenty more where that came from, so please go check out our link tree to find out what else we're cooking up right now. I personally am also all around on various podcasts and stuff, so you can check out my website to find that, or I am also a pro GM on Start Playing if you wanted to play a game with me also.
Nakna, don't freak me out, but do you have a name, and is it dreamy?
Hi, I'm Megan, or Moz. Everywhere on the internet, you can find me at It's Mozzarella. I am a voice actor, I am an AP performer, and I love amazing stories of, well, give me yearning, sadness, and great ways to play more games with my community. We are a primarily BIPOC community trying to make our own stories and our own little games over at Starcrawl RPG. And outside of that, we also are, we have like, I think, 6 or 7 two-player
audio dramas that are coming out of the recording, which is amazing, as well as a year full of solo TTRPGs that are releasing on my end that I get to create. So, yeah.
And I'm Rara, but that's enough about that. Thank you.